glorious time. Last night's service was just tremendous. Amen. So we're thankful for another opportunity today to come and study the Word of God. And this is what it's all about, is to study God's Word in order to establish in our hearts the knowledge of His divine will for our lives in this world. We're going to get right into the Bible lesson today. We try to take up where we left off, and then we'll proceed from there. We talked about yesterday the will of God for our life, and God demanded holiness down through the years and from his chosen people. And I think we can pick up without a whole lot of review, but I would like to say in the last paragraph that we covered yesterday, we mentioned that God's Word is God's revelation, and it is God's revealed will for our life. And the Word of God has sanctifying influence in our life, and the Holy Ghost imparts the divine nature of Jesus Christ in our heart, enabling us to put the Word of God into practice in our life. So I think all of us wants to do the will of God. We want to live such a way, and we talked about yesterday what makes a thing holy, what makes a person holy. It is the fact that the presence of God is there or is living in that particular heart. So we're holy today because not of anything on our part, but we're holy because Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, has taken up residence inside of our heart. The fact that Jesus has taken up residence in our heart, we are then to live in a different way, because our body then becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that body must not be desecrated by things that defile it, and things that pollute it, and things that will be sinful, and things that would bring condemnation or disgrace, or put us in a light that would betray a different kind of salvation than what God wants us to betray. So we covered yesterday the areas in which God wants us to live holy. And our dress is one of those dimensions. The Old Testament church, the Old Testament nation, the Old Testament people, they had to live holy in their work. He talked about plowing in the field, sowing the seed, you know. They were separated. They couldn't sow seed like the farmer next across the fence over there. So when they was out in the field and in their work and in their labor, when they was exposed to the outside world, they had to be holy. They had to have an identification that identified them as being separated from the heathen that lived around them. They had to be holy in their worship. They couldn't worship at the altars of Baal and the altars of idols and the altars of the heathen. So they had to be holy in their worship as well as their work. They had to be holy in their dress. They couldn't wear two different materials of the same garment. They had to be different. They had to dress different than the other people of the world. And they had to be holy in what they consumed into their body. They couldn't eat just like the Gentiles out there and the heathens was eating. And so there's many areas. In fact, wholeness has to do not with just our dress. A lot of times we think wholeness just has to do with our dress, but it has to do with every area of our life, including our dress. Can you say amen? Yes. So we want to talk about some of the things that we feel like that are pertinent to our young people today, because you are exposed to so much. You have been exposed to more sin and more wickedness and more immorality in the first 10 years of your life than I have been exposed to in the 48 years of my entire life. That's right. That's right. And I say that with all sincerity, because the last 30 years of my life, I have not been exposed to things that you've been exposed to in your schools and kids across the street and things of this nature. You have the material that you look at, and the material that's accessible to you, the material that you read, and the music that you hear, the lyrics, the philosophy and the lifestyles of sin. You have had more exposure to sin than I've had all of my life. So I'm really concerned today about trying to build up in your heart faith to want to do what God wants you to do. Holiness is not just a long list of rules of cannots. That's right. I don't want you to look at holiness like that. I don't want you to, because this is the negative attitude toward holiness. I want you to turn it around and look at the positive side of holiness as to what I must do to please God. Praise the Lord. And we can instill that into your heart these few days. I think that it will help you to want to be holy, to want to dress right, to want to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we talked about some of those things yesterday. So today we're going to get into the area of what the Bible teaches about Christian dress. And we covered some of these scriptures yesterday, but we will be referring to some of them again today, because I want you to understand about what the Bible teaches about Christian dress. Now, yesterday, we covered in detail Romans 12 and 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. But today, we want to go to 1 Timothy, and we want to deal with this scripture right here primarily today. Now, we covered about the body. What makes the body holy is the fact that Jesus Christ dwells in it and takes up residence in it, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. He tells us that our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. The fact that the Holy Ghost lives and dwells inside of the body makes this body holy. You're not holy because that you wear a long dress. You're not holy because you don't lie. You're not holy because you don't steal. You're holy because of the presence of God that lives inside of your heart. Then when the presence of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes in, that makes you, Peter said, a partaker of his divine nature. So his divine nature is holy. Can you say amen? All right, so since you become a partaker of his divine nature, then you are to abstain. And the Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians that we are to deny ourselves. We are to crucify the flesh. We are to cleanse ourselves. We dealt with that scripture in 1 Corinthians yesterday, that because that Jesus Christ comes and lives in our hearts, we become a partaker of his divine nature. Then the temple of God, which is a body, becomes holy because the presence of God lives there. Then we have to start removing things from us that would defile the temple, that would pollute it, that would stain it, that would taint it, that would bring shame and reproach to the name and the holiness of God himself. So I would like for everybody that has a Bible to turn to 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. And I'd like for one of you young ladies to stand up and read for me today. Now, we've been having the men to read for us yesterday, so we'd like to hear some of you ladies that have a Bible that to turn to this scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, and stand up and read that scripture for me. Would you do it? Who has a Bible and has that verse? All right, young lady, stand right up and turn around toward the audience and read real loud so they can hear it. All right, I don't think everybody heard her. I should have put the mic over there
so she could read over the mic and everybody could hear it. But let's read it together so that you'll understand, because there's some of these words here that I want to deal with. And I think if you'll understand the teaching of the Word of God. Now, you hadn't heard me say anything about what Brother McNeely thinks about holiness. You hadn't heard me say anything about what the United Pentecostal thinks about it. All you've heard me say about holiness is what the Bible says about it. And that's what we're interested in. Amen? Praise God. We want to know what the Bible teaches about Christian dress. Not what Brother McNeely thinks about it, but what does God say about it? Amen. All right, here's what God said. Everybody say, God said. All right, this is what God said. He said in 1 Timothy 2 and 9, he said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Everybody say, modest apparel. Modest. All right, with shamefacedness. All right, so with shamefacedness. So you are to dress, number one, in modest apparel. Number two, with shamefacedness. Number three, and sobriety. All right, now notice, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh. Everybody say becometh. Now these are words we're going to deal with here. But which becometh. Dress like that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, we dealt with this scripture yesterday in detail and this one here. So we'll just refer to it today. Romans 12 and 1 and 2 said, be not conformed to this world. Now, a little later in the study today, if we possibly can get down to it, I want to deal with this word right here. He tells us not to conform to the world. All right? What is the world? We got to find out what the world is so we know how not to conform to it. If I don't know what the world is, then I don't know how to not to conform to the world. The reason that a lot of our children are conforming to the ways of the world, they don't even know what the world is. They don't even know what the word the world means. They just hear some preacher get up there and say, you must not love the world. But they don't ever know, never hear what the world is and what that word world is talking about. All right, so he said, be not conformed to the world. So we want to deal with this word here, and we'll get back to it in detail. The world does not set the standard of the dress for the child of God. I said the world does not set the standard for the dress pattern and the dress code for the child of God. What sets the standard for the child of God? The Bible is our standard, and it sets the standard of our dress, the way we are to appear. The heathens of the Old Testament wasn't the factor that determined how that the Old Testament saints were to dress and to live and to conduct themselves. The Word of God was. The voice of God was. The will of God was their standard. And that's still our standard today. Praise God. So the world is not the thing that sets the dress code and the dress standard for the child of God. All right. Now notice. I want you to notice something else here. Let me get my Bible out of the way here, and I'll just refer to some of these scriptures, and I'll have some of you to read for me when I get ready for you to read. So we want to understand that the world does not set the dress standard or the appearance that we are to appear to God and to the world. It's not set by the world. All right. The Bible said that Satan is the god of this world. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the Bible said? Paul says that Satan is the god of this world. All right? Now, how does the world get their dress pattern? They get it through the children of Satan, who fashions the dress pattern of the world. Who is your dress designers of the world? Go back and study the dress designers of the world, and you'll find out that they are feminist men and rebellious, devilish women that hate God, that reject God, that don't even believe in God. and they designed and put out through the powers of dress and relate and a lifestyle that is contrary to the teaching of God's holy word. Hallelujah. Now, you don't tell me God designed this kind of a dress code for our teenagers. When we go to the scripture we just got through reading, how it says supposed to dress? Modest. And that as which becometh a Christian, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. And what the Bible teaches about the women, teaches about the boys. All right. So we find out that the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And that Satan, through his children, we understand, fashions the dress standard of this world. All right? Now, of course, that includes all kinds of attire. A topless clothing, low-neck dresses, short dresses, mini skirts, extreme tight, form-fitting clothing, hippie-type clothing, unisex clothing, any kind of a clothing that will, expose the body, that will create a desire in the heart of men and women to lust after one another, that discredits the body, that takes away the sanctity of the body and the sacredness of the body and the wholeness of the body. That's all designed by the powers of Satan. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so they all come from satanic influences. All ungodly dress that expose the body comes from the powers of Satan to create a lustful desire in the hearts of men and women seeking to damn their soul in a devil's hell. Jesus Christ and the Word of God is His divine revelation, and He sets forth the code and the pattern and the standard for our dress. We don't dress like the world. The world dresses like the devil wants them to. But we're a holy people that's set apart, that's separated from the world, and we dress like God wants us to dress. Hallelujah. Which is holy. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. We want to dress like the Lord wants us to dress. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Now then, I want to talk a little bit to you just a moment here. Let me show you something. I don't know if you can make this out or not, but I hope you can. Does it matter how you dress? That may not be big enough a picture for you to really understand what I'm talking about. But we know that this is a cowboy. How do we know he's a cowboy? Can anybody tell me how you know that's a cowboy? You don't have to ask the man if he's a cowboy. Do you have to ask? I didn't have to ask one of you if that's a cowboy. I didn't have to ask the one of you, what is this right here? That's a policeman, isn't it? How do you know he's a policeman? How you know that's the police down there standing on the corner when he stands out there? You don't have to stop. Say, hey, man, are you a policeman standing on this corner directing this traffic? You automatically know he's a policeman by the uniform that he's wearing. All right, how do you know that this is a sailor? How do you know it's a soldier? How you know it's a Marine? How you know it's an Air Force man? How you know a nurse walking down in the corridors of the hall? There's multitudes of nurses and people that walk in and out of the hospital. How do you know a nurse from a doctor? How you know a doctor from a policeman? How you know a policeman from a sailor and a cowboy? I'll tell you how you know. You know by their dress. There went my pointer in three different parts. I'll use my finger. I had another pointer when I forgot my pointer. All right, so does it matter how you dress? Now, let's talk about that just a moment here. Dress is very important to you as a child of God. Very important. Why? Because it is an outward sign, listen to me now, of our inward. Where's my songbook, children? I may need two of them. Thank you. Our dress is an outward sign of our inward choices and our inward desire for a certain lifestyle. It gives an outward clue to the kind of life we like to live. When I look at a cowboy and I see he's got on his spurs and his chaps, I know he likes to ride horses. I know he likes to poke cattle. I know he likes to live on a ranch. I know that he's got a different lifestyle. When you see a man in a business suit, you know he's not a cowboy. He don't like to ride no horse. He loves to handle greenback. His fingers are not calloused to an old lad rope and cold exposure to the weather. That old cowboy, his old face is wrinkled and it's tough like leather. His hands is calloused. And brother, listen, he's got bow legs. And yes, sir, he's a cowboy. That's the kind of life he likes to live. You hear me now? I'm saying to you children today that your dress will identify you with a lifestyle in this world. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Oh, I see right now we're not going to get nowhere on this lesson today. All right, now notice. So it gives an outward clue to the kind of life we like to live and the kind of person we really are inside. So inside of this fella right here, I need something to point. Go out there and find me a stick, somebody. Can you find me a little branch of stick off of one of them little old limbs or something? I'd appreciate it very much. Inside of the heart of this man here is a desire to live the lifestyle of a cowboy. And so that's why he dresses like a cowboy. That's why he's got his 10-gallon hat on. That's why he's got his spurs on, his chaps on, his Levi's and all of that. Because, thank you very much. All right, now notice that the desire that's on the inside of that person will be exhibited and demonstrated by a lifestyle on the outside. And your dress will identify the desires and the real thing that's on the inside of you. That's why it's very important for you to dress like God said, because we want to live like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus spoke about John the Baptist, he asked the people, he said, "What did you come out to see?" Let's find out a little something about it. He asked the people, he said, "What did you come out to see? A man clothed in soft, expensive clothes? Is that what you thought you'd see?" And Jesus said, "Those who are dressed in style and luxury live in palaces." Tells you in Luke 7:25. John the Baptist did not wear clothes acceptable with popular culture. You listen. He wore a camel head coat which was not bought from the local Jerusalem men's fashion store. But the point is this. What he wore was part of his message. The Bible prophesied that he would come out of what? Of a palace? No. Out of the wilderness. And that he would be a voice. All right? Not only did he come, do you expect a man to come out of the wilderness dressed in a nice, fashionable, luxury business suit? No. A man that comes out of them jungles out there, you expect him to look like a mountaineer. Or a mountaineer. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. One that climbs mountains, one that roughs it every day, one that inhales a lot of dust like we're doing here at the camp. You expect your hair, son, to stay nice and curly and nice, and you look like you come out of a bandbox when you're living out here in tents and dust and grime and dirt? Well, no, you don't expect that. Jesus said that your dress has a lot to do with your identification. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And so the dress of John the Baptist was part of his message. Now let me tell you this. Here's what the point is. What you wear is a part of your message also. It tells somebody out there what you are and how you want to live. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Listen to me now. I got to hurry. All right, now listen. I may have to skip about half of this. You say something to people by the way you dress. Now, what does your message say? That's what we want to know. What does my dress message say to somebody out there on the street? When I walk down the street, And when you walk down the street and you see boys and girls and the way they dress tells you something. They don't have to say a word. The girl don't have to say, boys, I'm available. Just make the pass. You automatically know whether they're available or not by the way they dress. And you boys fit in the same category. Well, how you dress conveys a message to all of our girls. What kind of message do you want to give? What do you want to tell those ladies out there? What do you want to tell those other boys? What do you want to tell the world? That's what I want to know. That's what God wants to know. What do you want to tell them in your manner of your dress? You're going to tell them something by the way you dress. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Listen to me now. What you wear says something to people. Now, what does your message say? Does it draw attention to Jesus and holiness and godliness and purity and love of God? Or does it discredit him? Does it draw attention to your personal physical body? What attention is drawn to you? What attitudes are formed? What is the message that's conveyed just by looking at your dress? Let's see what I've got here. I don't even know what I got on this transparency. Now I do. Because I'm looking at it. I wonder what he's trying to give. What kind of message he's trying to tell people. All right, I'm going to tell you something. Now, he's telling the world something. Did you hear what I'm saying? I said, this fella, the way he dressed, is telling the world something. He said, tell him, I'm stoned. Man, I'm freaked out. I don't know what world I'm in. Don't have to ask the man. Man, hey, look at your eyes. Look at you. You automatically know he's freaked out. Because the way he dressed, his appearance, it tells you something. Am I telling you right or not, kids? Am I telling you right? You automatically know what he's telling you. He's telling you, I don't know what in the world I'm at here. I don't know why I'm freaked out. I'm in another world. I'm doped out. All right? What is this guy here telling you? You automatically tell you, buddy, I'm a hippie. I'm against the establishment. I'm full of rebellion and hate and everything else that our societies are trying to get us to line up to. That's what he's telling you. What is this Holy Ghost person telling you with a nice, good, clean haircut and a good shave and a nice suit on and a tie, shine shoes, praise God, and his breath smells good and he's got a good bath and he sprayed a little deodorant on his arms? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what he's telling you? He's telling you that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and Christ dwells inside of me. That my body is holy. That my body is given to God. Hallelujah. That's what he's telling you. Your appearance becomes your label. It tells the world what you got inside of you. I told you a while ago that holiness wasn't just a bunch of rules of cannots. Let's get into what holiness really is. I'm going to tell you right here what holiness is. Holiness conveys a message to the world. All right, so the distinguishing marks of Babylon, which is called the mother of harlots, were her clothes and her jewelry. That was her distinguishing mark. What she looked like was an integral part of what she really was. Read about it. The Bible opens with a man being clothed, first chapter of the book of Genesis. It closes in the last chapter with a similar scene. Talks about those that are around the throne and how they dressed. He said, how they dressed? Fine linen. White, clean, unspotted. Hallelujah. Which is what? The righteousness of the saints. But you look at the 17th chapter and look at how that mother of harlot is dressed. It's a lot different than the way it talks about in Revelation about the true church. The Bible talks about it. So your dress is important to God. The world uses dress and fashion to project its spirit and its morals. Your dress tells what kind of morals you've got. That's right. Well, you got loose morals, no morals, or half morals, or you're a moral person. Conveys a message. All right. Let me try to keep up where I'm at here. So the world uses dress and fashion to project its spirit and morals. Its ethics and values or the lack of them. Our way of dressing tells us something of our control or influence by the world. How much influence is influencing the Pentecostal ranks of our churches today? How much influence has it made into our churches? I'll tell you how you can tell. Look at the dress of the people in the church. And you can tell how much influence that the God of this world out here has on the child of God. I go all over the country to preach as soon as I walk in. Youth camps, I can tell, look at every one of you boys and girls, tell how much influence God has over your life or how much influence the world has made in your life by the way that you look, by the way that you conduct yourself, by the way that you're dressed. I can tell whether you love God or not, or whether you come to youth camp to get something from God, or you're just here to just mess around. And so can everybody else. So you see, our way of dressing tells something of our control or the influence that the world has on us. So, as time draws to a close, the dress will become more and more perverted because it is produced by the God of this world. Yes, sir. We start, of course, to look at things that are changing right now. Our appearance becomes our label. All right, let's talk about that. You judge things by its label. The food that you purchase off of the shelves of the store, they've got a label that tells you what's inside of that box or that package or that can. Your label, it tells you. Just looking at it tells you the label. You don't have to open the can, dig around there and see if it's asparagus or peas or corn. There's a label on the outside of the can. The wrapper tells you what's inside. Your clothes is your wrapper that tells what's on the inside of you. Now, why do I want to live holy? Because the preacher said I can't wear mini skirts. No, that's not the reason I want to live holy. I want to understand that this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I want to present it to Him holy. Praise God. You got to get the wanting to do it, and then you won't have no trouble of doing it. Amen. I said, if I can get you to wanting to do it, you won't have any trouble of doing it. All right? So, you go on to everything, the clothes that you buy. The brand shoes that you buy. Everything is labeled. The label on the outside of a child of God ought to tell what's on the inside of that child of God. And it does tell. Our appearance on the outside says something, just as a label on a certain thing says something. Our appearance, which is a label, should not give a false message of the content that's on the inside. If I claim to have the Holy Ghost, well, how I dress on the outside ought to tell me whether or not I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't want to buy something in the store and pay $5.95 for it. The label says it's one thing, get home, open up, it's something else. If we're Pentecostal, let's dress like Pentecostal, let the world know that's what we are. Amen? Don't dress like the world and claim to be Pentecost. You ain't got the goods inside. You're a false label. That's what you are. Claiming one thing, but you're not really that. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek word which means actor. You're just acting the part of a Christian. You're not really one. I remember when I was a kid, I used to act like Roy Rogers. I like Roy Rogers, you know. He was the king of the cowboys. And Trigger, oh my. And boy, I'd buy me one of them little things, you know. And old Wild Bill. I like Wild Bill. He cocked too. You know, because he wore his gun backwards. Yeah, he did. He turned his handles around this way. And when he drew his pistol, he drew it like that, not like that. And boy, I remember when I was a kid, I'd get on my stick horse, you know. Yeah, I would. And I'd have my little belt on, and I'd play like Roy Rogers, or I'd pray, this is old Trigger. Yeah, this is Trigger. I'd ride in Trigger. I was just an actor. I wasn't really Roy Rogers. And really, that stick horse that I was riding really wasn't Trigger. what? I was just an acting out a part. That's what a lot of us do. Did you hear me? We just kind of act out the part of a Christian. We're really not Christians. We really don't have holiness down inside of us. But we play with the world and we mess with the world. We dress like the world, but we come to church and everywhere we go, we claim to be Pentecost. You're not Pentecost no more than I'm a monkey hanging from my tail in the jungles of Africa. If you're Pentecost, you're going to be holy. You hear me? You're going to dress holy. Praise God. You're going to be true blue. Just like Brother Arnold said the other night. Be real. Be real. The fakers are not going to make it. The fakers are going to die. The fakers are going to go to hell. But the real will stand. And the spirit and the power and the glory of God will manifest itself through you. God's not going to use the fakers. But he's going to use you real. You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. So we live in a world composed of human beings who are not, of course, all knowing. They cannot see what goes on inside of our hearts. They must judge us from the clues that we furnish them on the outside. I got a label. And so, our dress becomes our label. People judge us by clothing and the way we dress and the things that we wear. So when we look at the history of mankind, we see that the way one dresses has always been used to proclaim a person's state or position in life. For instance, to be clothed in royal garments indicated wealth and royalty. When that queen gets in that caravan, she's dressed with that crown on her head, that royal garment. Nobody don't have to ask. They don't have to be close enough to identify. They automatically know that's the queen. How do you know? Because of the way that she's dressed. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. There's Holy Ghost in the Word of God. Word of God is alive. A bride, you can have all kinds of attendants walking down them aisles, but you don't have to ask the question. When that bride steps in that through them double doors, and they got that white veil, that long flowing train, you don't have to punch somebody and say, "Is that the bride? Where did you come from, son? Don't you know the color of a dress of a bride? How do you know that's the bride?" You know that's the bride by the way she's dressed. Amen. How do you know Holy Ghost children? How do you know Holy Ghost men and women? How do you know them that's influenced by the world and them that has no worldly influence? How you know that those that are dead to lust and sinful desires and appetites and cravings of the flesh? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? I don't have to walk up to you girls and say, "Do you have the Holy Ghost?" I can look at you and tell you got the Holy Ghost, sister. I can look at your dress, your long sleeves, your glow on your face. Hallelujah. I can look at the witness. I know you got the Holy Ghost. Go into any restaurant. Let a good Holy Ghost woman or man come in there with his family. You don't have to go there and ask, "Are you Pentecostal?" You automatically know they got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Dear God, deliver us from the possession of worldly influence that would cause us to lose our identity as the Holy Bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I've got to hurry along here. I've got a long ways to go. So let's see what we want to talk about here. Let's see here. I'll just have to skip some of this stuff. I'll never get to all of it. General rules for dress. Will the clothes I wear affect my moral behavior? I got to touch on this. Because this is important to you young boys and girls. Will or can the way I dress have any effect on my attitude and on my spirit and on my conduct and on my behavior? Or will the way I dress have effect upon these areas of my life? There is a subtle correlation between the clothing you wear and the way that you behave. You can't separate conduct and behavior from dress. Let me get into this area just a moment here. I want to show you something. Every actor, every football player, every soldier, every band member of society knows this. Listen carefully now. What you put on your body, the type of clothes you wear, you're going to play the role sooner or later of what is portrayed through this dress code or this dress pattern. You hear me? Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? I say the way that you dress, eventually you are going to play the part of that which that dress suggests. If you dress like a harlot, you may not be a harlot, but sooner or later, you're going to commit fornication. If you dress in this unisex dress, and we're going, I don't know if I'll ever have time to get on that or not. You boys want to look like girls, and you girls want to look like boys. You're in for trouble. You might not be a homosexual, but you keep a dressing like one, and you keep a walking like one. You keep a talking like one. First thing you know, you will be one. This is an era that we need to deal with. So your clothes will affect your behavioral pattern. And of course, costumes, uniforms, and other types of clothing subtly program a person's actions. It weaves you into a situation that you will eventually put it into practice and carry out. And this will become your type of lifestyle to fulfill the desires of the heart of the way that you dress. Because if the desire was not there, you wouldn't be dressing in that fashion. And eventually you're going to get an opportunity to demonstrate that desire that's inside of your heart that's portrayed by the dress that you wear. All right, human beings instinctively tend to act the way they look. Now listen carefully to me now. That's why these boys, beard, they don't dress like a gangster. So how do they act? They walk down the street. They're just looking for somebody to mess with them. They tough hummers. How you know? They dress like they tough. Turned up color, you know. What they say, I'm tough. I dare you to mess with me. That's what they're telling you. You believe what I'm saying? They don't walk down the street dressed like tough hummers with a smile on their face and shaking hands with everybody, patting everybody on the back. No, they walk down the street. Boy, they're tough. They just look at, they act out the part of the way they dress. They dress like a tough hombre, and so they act like a tough hombre. They may be a tough hombre for all I know. I ain't going to hang around to find out. I ain't messing with nobody who looks tough, because I know this one thing. I'm old enough to know that they may be tough. That's right. Because they're going to act out the part that they dress. They dress like a tough hombre. They motorcycle gangs, them old Hell's Angels. Brother, they got them old beads on there, them long open vests, and they riding them motorcycles. You better not mess with them. They want you to know that they belong to the Hell's Angels. They're tough. How do you know they're tough? Look at them the way they'll act out the way that they dress. That dress tells you something. All right, so I'm going to tell you, young people, that the way you dress, eventually you'll become that what you dress like. You'll put it into action. All right, listen to me now. This is no recent discovery, of course. Why did savage tribes don war paint and frightful ornaments and all kinds of hostile appearing garb before they ever went into battle and had loud drumming music. Put things in the nose, in the ears, painted their faces, cut the body, put on all kinds of things and danced to the drum of that music. Because they, if they dress mean and they dress like they could get into an excitement, a frenzy that it would excite them. And they put into action the ferociousness of the dress pattern that they were trying to betray. So that's why they wore it. That's why they cut themselves. That's why they painted their faces. That's why they've done all of that. They've discovered that by looking fierce and ferocious, it was easier for them to get in a spirit of fierceness and ferociousness. So it would be easy if I dressed in a lustful manner, be very easy for me to slip into the area of lustful sin. Very easy. That's why we dealt with that scripture yesterday where the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, abstain from all appearance of evil. Just get away from it. Let it alone. Don't even try to dress close to it. Live like God wants you to, and don't get on the borderline and all of that. So we want you to know that Satan is also aware that clothing can influence a person's behavior. That's why he urges the Christian children to adopt the uniform of the morally lax gang of the world. He wants you to dress like them, so the little while you'll become one of them. Devil knows that. And I hope and pray that we know it. Hallelujah. All right. So he knows that once you dress the part, it's easier for you to act out the part. So if you dress the part, it's easy for you to act it out. Wearing a uniform of godless gang helps you to slip into their mental thinking and their mental outlook, their mental attitudes, and also their moral behavior pattern. All right, so let's close with that little part right there and move on a little further here. No. No whistling, no demonstration. I want to show you something. Let's go back. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Why don't you get up and read that scripture for me, young man? Turn to it real quickly and read it for me. Who's got it? Let's go back to the scripture right here. I want to deal with some of these words here. All right, stand up and read it. Read it loud. Oh, God. Ungodly dress, mini skirts, form-fitting clothing, body-revealing clothing, immodest, is designed by worldly, evil, lustful, perverted-minded men and women who have no, everybody say no, respect our regard for God's holy word. That's where all of this kind of clothing comes from. All right, now let's talk about that just a minute. Mini skirts, tight clothes, short shorts, whatever. All such design clothes are a part of the fashions of the evil-minded people of this world. They have a particular reason for designing this type of clothing. There is a reason for it. It's not done by accident. There's a purpose behind it, influenced by satanic forces of hell. All right? They are designed as a part of the fashion of this world, designed by worldly-minded men and women, unregenerated persons with no respect or regard for the teachings of the Word of God. Because of the carnal mind, these fashion designers have no thought or no desire or intent to please God whatsoever in their form of dress. They have no regard for modesty, like the Bible teaches here in the Word of God. This is one of the reasons, saints of God, we have regard for this body. The world has no regard for the body. The body is just an instrument of lust and pleasure. It's not sacred in the eyes of the worldly minded people that fashion the clothes of this world. That's why they make this kind of a clothing, to expose the body. They have no regard for the word of God. They don't know nothing about the sacredness of the teaching of the body that becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost, wherein dwells the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know nothing about God, and they don't want to know nothing about it. So they got a different attitude toward the body than you and I have. We've got an attitude that this body is holy. They've got an attitude that the body is just a symbol of pleasure. That's all it is. And so they design clothes and dress to expose the parts of the body that will create a desire in the heart of the opposite sex to be a partaker of the lustful desires of that heart. But this must not become the dress pattern for us children of God. We've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We must wear our clothing in a way that would please God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God help us today. It is not unusual at all to see someone in a car or on a park bench or so forth and not know for sure about whether you're looking at a man or a woman or a boy or girl. Really don't know whether which one's a boy and which one's a girl. They may both be boys and girls. Either one, for all you know. The way they dress a lot of times. Amen. All right, that's because a growing element in our contemporary society wants to obliterate the differences between the male and the female. Now, there's a conspiracy going on that's influenced by the powers of the devil that wants to remove the distinction between the created difference between the male and the female. They want to do it through dress and etc. Listen to me now. Fellas and girls get the same kind of haircuts. They wear the same type of clothing. They try to suppress any tendencies that might be considered dominantly masculine or feminine. In addition, they claim that the woman has no more responsibility for the nurture of an infant than the male. They call for the establishment of centers for the care of children, thereby taking the burden away from both father and mother of the rearing of the children, which is contrary to the word of God. It's all backed by this movement in our contemporary society that's influenced by the powers of the devil. They want total sexual freedom for everybody. And they are working toward the abolishing of all social distinction between the male and the female. They're pushing legislation in Congress of the United States for the educational system that would force all public schools to abandon every possible differentiation between the sexes. The leading promoters of the movement, which is this unisex business and this liberation mess, are effeminate males and rebellious females. That's all who's behind it. And the end result will be disastrous to our young people of America in the future generation. The Bible and those who promote the unisex concept are miles apart. Hallelujah. Praise God. God does not want the man to look like the woman. He does not want the woman to look like the man. He created you as an individual to play a particular role and have a particular function in this world. And he does not want that removed. And your dress will help to remove that, because the way that you dress will also help you to adapt the attitude and enact the behavioral pattern of the philosophy of these devilish people. The advocates of unisex philosophy don't want to acknowledge any clear-cut distinction in behavior, employment, or potential as laid down in the Word of God. Genesis 3:14 and 19 outlines clearly the distinction of roles for men and women in our sin-cursed world. The leaders of the unisex movement want to have male and female look as much alike and act as much alike and have as much like the same role in life as possible without any distinction between the two. The scriptures make definite pronouncements calling for a distinction between the male and female regarding to clothing and hairstyles. When the people of heathen cultures dressed like the opposite sex, they usually were involved in obscene, lustful forms of idol worship. Heathens. It was also a badge of sexual perversion. We've got to hurry. I never get half what I wanted to talk about today. Let's see where we are. In Genesis' account of man's sin, the scripture tells us that God was very concerned about the clothing of both Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's clothing betrayed their spiritual condition. This is true of any person or any generation. Your clothing tells whose side you are on, God's side or the devil's side. Can you say amen? There are rebels right now in our country who have a distinct clothing that tells you where they stand. They wear faded blue jeans and with frayed edges. They grow beards. They won't wash their hair. They won't take a bath. They won't use deodorant. They stitch the United States flags upside down on their sleeves. And what are they saying by their dress? I'll tell you what they're saying. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, I don't like the standards of the establishment. You know what you're saying when you don't dress holy? You're saying, I don't like what God tells me I ought to do. That's what you're telling everybody. Just like that hippie dress fella is telling everybody out there he don't like the moral code of our society. And so he's going to show everybody he's going to be different than the rest of them. And that's what gets in our hearts. And if we're not careful, it will destroy us in hell. Not only if we're careful or not, it will destroy us in hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so he's a saying that I hate everything that you stand for. I hate the democracy. I hate the government. I hate the moral code. I hate the limitations. I hate the restrictions. I hate everything. I want to be free to do as I please anytime I get ready, whether it affects you or whether it don't. That's what that man's telling us that wears the flags upside down on his sleeve and dresses like a beast of the field. He said, my clothing shows you my contempt for you. I have no regard for you. Get out of my way, boy. You in my way. Blow my smoke right in your face. You can like it or lump it. That's right. That's the attitude. Their clothing tells you that. That's right. Listen to me. Down through the decades, descendant groups have shown their hostility in the clothing that they choose, whose side they were on. Do you love the Lord? Do you dress like you love Him? Do you dress in a manner that tells the world that I love Jesus? Do you want to be known as His follower? Does your clothing line up with what He teaches in the Word of God? In recent years, teenagers have made a mighty swing toward tacky clothing. Tacky clothing should not be the dress of the child of God. I want to show you why. Not only immodest clothing is a reproach to God, but tacky clothing is also a reproach to God. All right? Now, I'm not talking about casual clothing now. I'm talking about tacky clothing. There's a difference. Everybody say tacky. Everybody say casual. There's a difference between the two. Tacky clothing is possibly sloppy clothing. You know. Tacky, sloppy. All right, listen to me now. I'm going to get down close now. faded out denims, patchwork skirts. They put together poor boy outfits, etc. Is this a trend toward ugly clothing? A sincere desire to get back to the biblical emphasis on clothes? They claim, well, I want to look just as much like Jesus as I can. Jesus never was tacky, nor was he sloppy. Your faded out denims don't tell me nothing, but you have no respect for yourself. That's what it tells me. Your old unbuttoned collar down there with your hair showing on your chest, that don't tell me that you're holy. That tells me you have no respect for yourself. You don't have no respect for God or nobody else that's around you. That's what it tells me. It tells me something. Old sloppy clothing tells me that you have no respect for yourself. Your old unkempt hair, old unwashed hair, old matted hair all down your face, your old smelly body. You know what that tells me? Tell me to get away from you. Ain't that right? All right. So, is this trend toward ugly clothing, tacky clothing, sloppy clothing, a sincere desire to get back to the biblical emphasis on clothing? I don't think it is. I think it's an influence by the powers of the devil to lead you away from the principles of the sacredness of the body and the holiness of your dress. Let me show you something. Where is the balance? Where is the balance? How can we know what is too little or too much in our dress? How should we dress to make such people of the world know that we love our Lord? Hallelujah. All right, I'll try to close. I'm not near through, but I'll have to shut this down, and I'll have to skip all these. Oh, my Lord. I never will get over here in all this. I just ain't got enough time here, but let me show you something. Hey, give me my watch here, man. God wants modesty in your clothing. That's where the balance is going to be. How am I going to balance out? How am I going to know how to dress? God tells you how to dress. He said, dress with modesty. That means moderation. That does not mean sloppy and trashy and tacky. Look at that word, how he tells us here to dress modest. I go back to this word here, not necessarily on the screen here, immodesty, but go back to the word of God here in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. We refer back to that, and he tells us how we're supposed to dress, how we can balance out, how we can live and dress in a manner that we will have a testimony and that we will live in a measure that will be pleasing unto God Almighty. Hallelujah. So he says for us that we are to dress in modest apparel. The following is a dress code that was put out by one of the leading auto repair shops of a large retail chain store of the United States of America. And I pray, and some of our churches don't even have the strict dress code that this business people have got. It's a shame to us that even management of chain stores will adopt a dress code that will even be stricter than our Pentecostal churches, a lot of them adopt. It's a disgrace. It's a shame and a reproach to God. Anybody in the world ought to set the dress code for holiness. It ought to be us, one that's Holy Ghost apostolic Pentecostal people. It's the truth. Now you listen to me, what I'm going to tell you, what kind of dress code. They wouldn't even hire a person that wouldn't line up to this dress code. And I quote, since fashion is constantly changing, and there is more and more variety in clothes for both men and women, hard and fast rules or codes for dress are different or difficult to develop. And sometimes the right clothes can be a matter of an individual's taste. And that's what our people want to believe. They want the preacher to let them decide in their own heart what is right and what is wrong. God never did put that prerogative into your hand. You don't lie. You don't dress according to the way you want to. You dress according to the way that God wants you to. If you're going to be his child and be his bride and fulfill a purpose in your life and represent him in this world and be saved in the world to come. All right. The best way to describe our code is that extremes in anything are generally out, as well as any clothes or any hair or any shoes or any accessories that would make our store look like a scene from the beach or a resort or a ballroom or a dude ranch. Now, what do we want our churches to look like? What kind of atmosphere do we want in our worship? Do we want a rock and roll, honky-tonk type atmosphere in our worship? Or do we want a worship that's conducive to the fellowship of the Spirit of man and getting contact and communication with the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right, listen to me now. Those things would include hot pants, culottes, not gauchos, culottes. This is a business world. Won't even let the women wear culottes in his establishment to represent his store. Boy, that's something, ain't it? Jeans, he won't even let them wear jeans. Boys or girls. Slacks and sweaters, he won't let the girls wear slacks and sweaters. Now you listen to this. This is not just an individual person here making up his. This is a chain store that covers the United States of America. These are the employees that they hire to represent their store. This is a dress code that they laid down to them. You can holler discrimination all you want to. All right, now listen to this. So he includes hot pants, culottes, jeans, slacks and sweaters, gauchos, Snickers, whatever that is, jumpsuits, bare midriffs, turtlenecks, other sport apparel for men, anything else extreme, like extremely long hair or unkempt beards for men, or hats or elaborate accessories for women distract from a store's professional appearance. Someone once said, I'm still quoting from this man, it's easier to get where you'd like to be if you dress like you're already there. Boy, I like that statement. It's easier to get where you want to go if you dress right now like you're already there. If we intend to get to heaven, it'll be better for us to get there if we're dressed now like we was already in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's find out what the dress is going to be in heaven, and let's dress like that down here right now. It'll make it easier for us when we get up there. Hallelujah. It'll help us to get there, in fact. All right, so let's get back here. He said, someone said, it's easier to get where you'd like to be if you dress like you're already there. People tend to present a total image not only by how they act and what they do, but how they look. Dressing will dignify as well as style and flair just may hasten your trip to success, unquote, signed the store manager. Well, I won't be able to get back on this tomorrow because I want to deal with the hair question tomorrow. And then Friday I want to deal with music. So I'll never finish this dress, so we'll just have to stop. I never did get into the unisex deal here. I wanted to get into that, but we'll have to skip that. Let me see here. Let's cover this one little thing here. What is woman's apparel? Somebody said slacks woman's apparel. Jeans is woman's apparel. Well, let's see if it is. See, I think we need to get into this just a minute. It won't take much. Just a minute. Everybody say just a minute. All right. Go to Deuteronomy 22 and 5 and stand up and read that scripture for me. And then I want another person to get me 1 Timothy 2 and 9. We want to go back and refer to that scripture because I want to tie these two scriptures together, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, and I'll explain these two things and then we'll close. All right, stand up and read Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Who's got it? What is woman's apparel? And we'll get back to 1 Timothy 2 and 9 in just a minute. Read Deuteronomy 22 and 5. All right. All right. All right, now let me explain that to you. I got to hurry, and if you'll bear with me just about 3 minutes, I think I can get through. The woman shall not wear, according to this scripture, that which pertaineth unto a man. Didn't say that which was a man's. It just said that which pertaineth to a man, that which even looks like it's a man's. That's what the word pertaineth there means. Didn't say the man shall not, a woman shall not wear a man's clothes. It said a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, or that shape or fashion or design to look like a man's trousers. That's what the word pertaineth means. And we'll try to get in detail that in just a moment. And then he turns right around and says the man must not wear that which pertains to a woman, or that which simulates the dress or the attire of the opposite sex. All right, so he said pertaineth to the woman, neither shall a man do that which it pertaineth, wear that which it pertaineth to a woman, or if he does or she does, it's an abomination unto God. All right, this scripture plainly says that a woman is not to wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and a man is not to wear that which it pertaineth unto a woman. A man, of course, and a woman is supposed to have distinct clothing. Abomination, he said, is those that do that. What in the world does the word abomination mean? Now, here's how you girls stand in the eyes of God, and here's how you boys stand in the eyes of God when you dress contrary to what the God book says. He said that you stand before me and I'm looking down on you. And you are an abomination. Here's what that word means. You are an extreme disgust to me. I am disgusted with you. Because you are doing just exactly opposite in the way and the function and the fashion and the desire and the purpose through which I created you. And so you are just doing, you are looking and acting and wanting to be just the opposite of the way that I want it to be. And bad light with God. This is why, this is the way that God feels when he sees a woman put on man's a garment or that which pertaineth and vice versa. All right. Why? Because this law was given to preserve decency and to make a clear distinction between male and female. God wants woman to look like a woman. And God knows what is expected of her. And he wants her. Listen to me now. You see, your dress, children, creates a feeling. You have a certain feeling that arouses inside of you that is produced by the clothing that you're wearing. You may not know the inside of what I'm talking about, but most of you do. A certain kind of clothing that you wear produces a certain kind of feeling inside of you. God don't want you to have certain feelings. He don't want you to have a perverted feeling. He wants you to be a mother and a good wife to that husband that you are preserving your body for when it comes time for you to get married. So this is why God laid down, this is why that God specifies certain kind of a dress for a woman and a certain kind of a dress for a man. Because the way that you dress produces certain feelings, and you don't want to have a perverted feeling towards your husband. You want to have the right feeling toward him. You want to have the right feeling toward the male. You want to have the right feeling toward your pastor and toward your father and toward God. The way that you dress can destroy the proper feelings that God put in you when he created you as a male and a female. Those feelings can be destroyed by the way that you dress. And God don't want those feelings destroyed. That's why he laid down a dress code. The way that you ought to dress, it ought to be different. The standard for God's people is laid down by God. Well, I'm holding you too long, but I've got to try to finish this statement here before I get through. All right, notice. God wants a woman to look like a woman, a man to look like a man. And he wants, and he knows what is expected of her, and he wants her to feel the proper emotions toward the man who is going to be her husband or who is her husband. God wants a man to look like a man, to walk like a man, remembering that he is made in God's image. He wants a man to assume gladly the responsibility, because you see, there's responsibilities that goes with womanhood and there's responsibilities that goes with manhood. And God does not want the feelings that to arise that will be perverted, that will destroy the responsibility role of a male and a female. He wants you to have that kind of a feeling so that you will fulfill that kind of responsibility through which you was created. That's why he wants you to dress a certain way. It's not because a preacher don't want you to do it. It's because God knows that there's some things in you will be destroyed that you'll never get back if you dress a certain way. God knows that. That's why I laid it down in the Word of God. And that's what I'm trying to give to you today. To wear the clothing of the opposite sex would betray, or perhaps unintentionally, maybe you don't know it, but the trick of the devil. But it would betray an unwillingness to submit to the plan that God especially designed for each one of us when He created us, male or female. Well, I'll have to stop. I can't get into that. So let's stand.